Sharif Jackson, he's on fire! Welcome to Get Your Mutant Buzz on Thirsty Thursday. Tim Kitcher with Michael Menheim for Mutant Football League.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 218 of the Spawn on Me podcast. I am your host, the one and only Cicero Holmes, a.k.a. Stubby Stan, also known as Caesus, the Bruce Wayne of Chicago, and the Baron of Bourbon. And I am here this week and every week with our Duchess of Diversity. She's still in town, y'all. She's the one and only Chicago's own Miss Tanya DePass. Tanya, how you doing?
I'm okay. Yes, I'm actually home. I know it's a shock.
Yeah.
Even though I'll be in Baltimore next week with Sharif.
That's right. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, we do. It's good. Had kind of a good day news-wise. Still not really real about something I could finally talk about in public.
Yeah. Hey,
now. Yeah, I'm going to be in a museum exhibit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're
gonna have to revisit all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's good, but it's just like, wow, what a week, and it's only Thursday.
Yes, we've got to, you know, is hump day post hump day? The other cat that's occupying one of the boxes is the one and only, the one who makes STEM look good all over the world. The mighty fro himself, my brolic brother, Mr. Sharif Jackson of SharifJackson.com. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, but my only problem is, how do I follow up Tanya saying I'm going to be in a museum exhibit? Like, I don't know what I can say. I mean, the only response I can possibly give is that when I was younger, I would go to the Museum of Natural History every year. Uh-huh. That is my favorite museum.
Yes,
in New York City, the Museum of Natural History. I guess that means I'm featured in a museum because I went there for like 9 straight years as a kid. You know, that's all I got in terms of my museum facts. But
yeah, well, okay. I mean, you did introduce Neil deGrasse Tyson twice, who is the curator of the Hayden Planetarium.
That is true. And we did talk about that actually when I talked to him kind of backstage. So that counts. All right.
There you go. Not here is the great captain. I have taken over the ship. He ain't got no voice. He was crossing the street and sprained his vocal cords instead of his ankle. He's leveled up. He's leveled up. Shout out to Khalif. You know, shout out to everybody who listened to our show last week where we talked about God of War and really broke it down. Really appreciated all the love and all the responses. So that was really dope. Thank you. But we're not here to talk about the past. We're kind of here to talk about the past, but we're here to talk about the present, which it will be your future. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to C2E2. I ran into the gentleman that we have here today under a banner that said Mutant Football League. And I said, wait a minute, that game, like, you know, it looked like there was a bunch of retro games there. So I was like, oh, isn't that the old game? And I was like, wait a minute, wasn't that game Mutant League Football? And then I looked at the graphics and I was like, holy shit, no, this is a brand new game. What's going on? Mutant Football League. And then I run into the two people that we have here today, the creator of the Mutant Football League and the creative designer on Mutant League Football, Mr. Michael Menheim, and the voice of Mutant Football League, and also the voice of games of yore, all of your sports, crazy sports games of yore, especially the one and only NBA Jam. It's Mr. NBA Jam himself, Mr. Tim Kitzrow. Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. In this game, actually, a.k.a. Grim Blitzrow with you. So from downtown Chicago, it's Get Your Mutant Buzz on Thirsty Thursdays with Mike and Grim. Boom shakalaka.
And holy crap, like, we've had to be contained here for 7 minutes. Yeah. That's, like, impossible for us. I was trying to
see how long I could stretch it for you guys, because...
That's way too hard for us.
Keeping those horses in the barn too long on Kentucky Derby Day.
That's right. Yeah, man. And so when those gates open, you got to go the fuck off.
That's right. So, and I'm a mutter, too. It is rain. I'm going to be a mutterfucker tonight.
Wow. So Mutant Football League, it's out now. It's playable on Xbox One, on PlayStation 4, and on your PC via Steam. $60 game, right?
Hell no, $60. No, the game is available digital on all those platforms for $19.99.
Wait a minute, you're telling me you can get a console game for $19.99?
Do you believe this? For the price of one round, you can go and play with your friends and have a kick-ass time. It's unbelievable. What? Everybody, go out right now and go get Mutant Football League.
I've already had more than $19 worth of beer. We've only been on 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's my beer, too.
And
so
that game's
going to
last
hair.
A hell of a lot longer than this buzz.
So, and you know what? The great thing is, that's exactly the type of banter that you get when you're playing the game. It is irreverent. It is snappy. It is just so much fun. Michael, first things first. Like I said, you were one of the designers, the principal designer on Mutant League Football from days of yore, right?
I pitched the game concept to Trip Hawkins when he was CEO of 3DO, and then designers. So that's going back a ways, but he greenlit it, and we had a small team to go ahead and build the game.
That's awesome. And you know, so that started a relationship with EA that went and spanned over one of my really, really favorite games, Def Jam Icon. You were a writer on that game.
Yeah, we worked on Def Jam Icon 2, and you know, we did that at EA Chicago. It was a really innovative product that we tried to do a lot of things, but we didn't quite hit the bullseye on that game.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, again, that game is like right in time with all the other stuff that you guys do, because it was over the top. It was, you know, flamboyant in all the right ways. And it was a hell of a lot of fun. Like you weren't expecting, like I wasn't going to cry. I never expected to cry playing Def Jam Icon.
I think we strayed a little bit too far from the first two games of Def Jam, like Vendetta and Fight for New York. I think we strayed a little bit too far from those games, but you know, sometimes you take chances on games. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss, and I think we missed on that product, but you know, the graphics were fantastic. The music was fantastic. And I actually really liked the story mode. But the problems came into the game's fighting dynamics. And, you know, when you have a game that people love, like, that's why, you know, Mortal Kombat with Ed Boon is so awesome. Because even though they innovate on that product, they don't stray too far from what people love about that product. And I think it's really important when you're taking on a game that people love and you're trying to do something new and different, that you keep the magic that the people loved about it. And, you know, that's certainly what we tried to do with Mutant Football League.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a question, because I wasn't aware that you were involved with the original one as well. So I know that the original one was like built using the Madden engine at the time. No. Oh, it was not.
That's an urban legend right there.
Ooh.
Michael is Snopes.
Yeah, so I mean Madden 94 and 93, I mean it was such a great game. We were all over that product, and the guys that created that product, you know, helped us with Mutant Football League, giving us ideas. But we built that engine on our own. And the engineers built it. I had nothing to do with it.
Take all the credit. They're not here now.
But that was its own game without, you know, the Madden engine. But we certainly were influenced by Madden in a lot of ways, because Madden is so awesome. But, yeah.
Wow, urban legend squash. I honestly did not know that, because I remember when I originally played it, you know, like that's what was written in the game magazines of the time. I'm pretty sure it still is. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So thanks for clearing that up. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, exclusive, exclusive.
Even though it kills my question.
Right.
thank you for clearing it up. Appreciate
it. So, Tim, the voice of all voices, how did you, so little known fact, NBA Jam was not the first game, your first foray into doing these game announcements. What did you started with, like NHL hits or something?
No, I did pinball games first for Williams Bally. Twilight Zone, Attack from Mars, Gilligan's Island, Elvira in the Shadow.
Yeah, do howl.
Oh, Gilligan, maybe we could bribe Kona. Love it. So that started it off, and I'd done about 15 titles out there, and then they brought me in to do NBA Jam. It might have been prior to NBA Jam. I don't remember. Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey. I did that, and they had actually recorded that with some hockey announcer. His voice out in L.A., they weren't happy with it. They came out to me. We did it in 2 days sessions, like 10 hours of, throat shredding stuff. So Wayne Gretzky, and then I went on to do NFL Blitz, MLB Slugfest, NHL Hits, Big Hurt Baseball, NBA Showtime, all the different iterations of right. NBA Jam, the Hang Time, NBA right. on NBC, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I had a good run, and Michael was here in Chicago. He looked me up when he was thinking about doing the reboot. And oddly enough, when I was doing a reboot of NBA Jam for EA, and I think it was 2012, they put a little game, a little Mutant League football game at the end, like tagged it on. What's that? That I was doing Blitz, but they were thinking, and all the guys there were such huge fans of it. They were like, oh, we hope we can do a full version of this. And they were, you know, really excited. And then it just disappeared. The Blitz, we never did another remake. Part of the reason was they got rid of all those late hits and the violence and all the fun stuff that everybody loved about Blitz. So this man is the guy who's bringing it back. Whoever loved Mutant League Football and Blitz, this is like the mashup between that Quentin Tarantino and like
Sam Peckinpah
and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, and a bottle of bourbon. I mean, this has all that crazy, crazy, over the top stuff. You know, orcs and skeletons, zombies, robots. But I mean, it's a blast. It's a crazy game, and he offered to let me go crazy, which wasn't hard to do, and write my dialogue in for my characters, and it's like Mad Magazine also, and Futurama, Simpsons, you know, like Adult Swim cartoon with a great football game. So I think people are gonna love it. Just check out the trailer on YouTube also, just to get a taste of, for anyone who hasn't seen or heard about it yet. It's the Mutant Football League trailer.
Yeah, it's a great trailer. The game is dumb. Like, it's so dumb in all the right ways. Like, I played my first game and I was winning, but then my running back got struck by lightning and got killed, and they fumbled the ball, And the guy ran it back. The giant whatever running back thing or linebacker thing ran it back and they scored. I was up 14. And then I used the trick play or the dirty plays, because you have these dirty plays dirty tricks in your playbook. Yeah. And then I used that to use a chainsaw. But then the defensive guy grew into a giant troll.
Called the dirty trick.
You got it. Yeah.
What wins, chainsaw or giants?
Giants win. Giants win.
It's like rock, paper, scissors. That's fun.
Yeah. And he ran that back. I fumbled the ball. He ran that back. And then they went for two. I blocked it. Then they got an onside, and they kicked the field goal and won the game. It was crazy.
The game does not cheat. There's none of the now your guy's going to throw an interception or fumble. It doesn't.
Oh, no, no, no. It was a blast. I laughed the entire time.
To be clear, I've lost playing my own game, and I've lost by like 59-0 to some players. Nice. Seriously. Gatling Nukes out there somewhere, and he kicked my ass.
And he plays like 24 hours a day, which is crazy.
So, I mean, the game does not cheat if you are losing like some other arcade sports game does. So the best team will win, and that's how we design the game. But it is stupid and funny. And all of the above, but at its core soul, it's a damn good football game.
Amen. Yeah, I really had the feeling when I was playing of, believe it or not, like Super Mario Kart, in the way that it's super chaotic. Usually, if you're really good, like you'll still win, but so much chaos will happen from the beginning to the end.
Which is why you must play it stoned or drunk.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually playing it at a bar a couple of nights ago, and yes, we were definitely not sober. I kind of like that because it really, you know, like the chaos is fun. It's like definitely a game that embraces that. One thing I really liked about the game is I feel like it unapologetically knows what it is, and it doesn't, I feel like, try to sugarcoat things or like try to sort of like obviously everyone wants to sell their game to everyone, but I feel like that like you guys have a sort of a clear target audience in mind. Would you say that your audience is it more people that are our age that sort of have that experience with the older game, like a younger people that might not have ever played any 16-bit games, or like kind of a mix?
So I'm going to start this. I'm going to let Tim finish it.
Sure.
That's like a great question. It's all of the above, right? Because we have like the old school fans, like the dads who are in their 50s and shit, and they love it, and they come and they play, and then they bring their kids. And our game, like the father said, we had a number of fathers and actually a few moms write us and go, look, I know your audience likes the blood and all of that, but we got to have some parental controls. So we actually put those in because dads wanted to play with their sons, play the game they loved growing up with their kids. So we have parental controls where you can turn off the swearing, and you can actually turn down the gore. But, I mean, I swear to God, we have kids come that are like 14 that want to play it, and when we're at a show we turn down everything, right? Because we can't do the M-rated show at a family con, so we turn all of that stuff off, and those kids go,
they won't leave. I gotta kick them out, you know. They're just a mom and like a 4-year-old or 5-year-old at the Comic-Con,
I'm like, you spent like how much money to get into the show, and you just spent 3 hours playing our game, and there's like every superhero and Marvel comic and everything else. That was good. I mean, that shows you how addictive it is. And when you think of like how people, you know, got into NBA Jam and Blitz when they were 8, 9, and 10, whatever, you know, the excitement of those crazy over the top arcade games. The new generation, I don't care whether they don't know it's old school or know that the sim games is where it's at now. Like, they just go, it's fun. And they jump in. The college kids are loving it. It's like every age group was just, like, totally immersed.
I have to take the controller out of, you know, a 14-year-old's hand.
Yeah.
And I go, you got to let somebody else play. And we usually cut them off at, like, halftime, right? Because you can't have... If there's people waiting, you got to cut it off at halftime. If nobody's waiting, they can continue playing. But usually there's somebody waiting, and they'll just be like, and then they'll leave, and then they come back.
Right. I'll just, you know, I forgot something.
It's like when you're at Trader Joe's and they got a real good freebie that day. You know, and you just keep circling around the aisles, coming back, pretending you're going to buy it, and then you just keep walking, eating. You know,
did they at least like put a different hat on, put a mustache, make a mustache finger?
But to finish up the question, when I was doing this game, it's a community driven product. So that means like the people out there listening, we have our community, they come. They submit names for the teams we're going to put in the game. They submit names for the characters. They submit music. They submit play designs. They submit all kinds of stuff for the game, as well as feedback that we actually listen to and actually implement. Yeah. And then we take the best names people submit, and we run surveys, and we have an awesome community. And these guys are the ones, you know, who actually allowed us to get our game done because they funded us, they supported us, they know exactly what they want, and that's the game we built. But I think it transcends age groups because, you know, if you like football, and even if you don't, if you like just madcap type of strategy. We have some people that hate sports games but play Mutant Football League because they don't give a shit what the score is. The score can be 28-0. They don't care because they're going to win the game and they're the ones with zero because you only have two quarterbacks left. And what they're doing is systematically decimating every quarterback you have. And they know by the time the two-minute warning rolls around in the fourth quarter, you're going to have one quarterback left. And they know if they can kill him, they win. And that's how they play the game. And then we have other guys like that just like football, and they play it, you know, and death is just part of it. And then they go, I lost my star running back. But that's what our game is. You can play it on different levels. So... I'm hoping we get younger kids to like it with all the violence and gore and swearing turned off for the ESRB out there. college kids, because it's just a fun party game. I mean, it's like, you know, Mario Kart is actually not a crazy example or reference because that's kind of what it is. In terms of just madness and craziness that happens inside a pretty good racing game. And then we have the people that just grew up with this game and love it and are glad it's back.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. So you've got, you know, you talked about the team name. So that must have been one of the most fun things. So you got like the New London Hatriots. And
Nuked London Hatriots.
The Nuked London Hatriots. London.
Versus the Philadelphia Evils.
Yes.
The Grim Bay Attackers. Bomb Shady with the Nuked London Hatriots. So, the names, the parody names are fantastic. It's just great.
The funnest thing to do, though, is to design how players are going to die, and that's our dirty tricks, right?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. You can die?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I barely played the game when it was originally out, and I'm just like, wait, it's football though. Could I just enjoy myself and not die?
You can turn the options to weenie, fuckhead, and then you won't have anybody die, and then you can pretend it's Madden with weird characters. But the correct way to play is with a lot of carnage and death, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down with carnage. I was just surprised there's actual death.
Well, that's the strategy, right? I mean, you have to protect your dudes. And when you see our new downloadable content coming, Dynasty,
right,
where you actually take these little guys when they're rookies and they're so fragile, and you build them up and you make them fast and tough, and then you get them out on the field and they die. It's heartbreaking, man.
You mentioned that. So you've got the play now mode. So, you know, obviously you can go in, pick one team, pick another team, and you just play. You've got just playing the your version of the championship, the Mutant Bowl, and you also have a practice mode, but you also have online and season modes.
Well, yeah, we have playoffs, which you could just do playoffs. It's a very short season. And then we have a 13-game season. But the community and a lot of, like, the press, like, one of the knocks against the game was it needs, you know, we want everything that Madden has, and your game doesn't have everything that Madden has.
Well, we don't have $140 billion.
So, you know, the product was self-funded, and then it got a boost from Kickstarter to get us across the finish line. Seven guys on the dev team, and then a whole lot of community and contractors to help us get it done. But so we have to, like, evolve the product, right? So I couldn't do everything, because if I tried to do everything, we would have never shipped. And I've seen a lot of indie game companies. I've been around for a long time, and I know that ambition can get you killed. So you have to scope the product to what you can actually build and deliver. And that's what we did. But you want to do that at a very high level of quality. And you want to, you know, you want to nail your hook. So, like, our hook is, you know, you're playing with monsters and you can kill guys in the game. And and we wanted to make sure that visceral experience of playing a good football game and being able to kill guys was satisfying. And that's what we focused on. And we wanted to make people laugh and smash their controls. And this guy, Kitzrow, when I actually got him to join the product, I thought it brought instant cred to Mutant Football League.
And how wrong he was.
And not only instant cred, but it bridges a gap of a genre that is kind of extinct right now,
yes,
which is the arcade sports game. So when you hear Tim's voice and you're playing, it just brings a smile to your face, right?
Yes,
it just does.
I agree.
It reminds me of that guy from Blix and Jam.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I was saying.
It's, you know, I don't hear my voice a lot in these games because I actually don't play, and you know, I'm a voiceover artist, and I have fun writing and recording, and then I let it go. So when I got back into this, and then we've gone to some of these shows, and it's, you know, Mike's got the nice sound system set up, and you know, welcome to Mutant Football League. And it's like, hey, that sounds like that guy from that video game. On his feet, right? I mean, that's a pretty good impression.
Now, here's what happens at the shows. He's like, it's not loud enough. Turn it up. No, just not the music. Do you got volume controls for just the guy, the announcer? We do.
Can you turn off the screen and just have the sound on? Can we do that? this is the most fun I've ever had making a game because it is so crazy. And if you think of, you know, how I cut my teeth, as we know, those titles that I did in Slugfest was a great game with Midway, where you could go out and beat up a pitcher, you know, throw bean balls, knock the guy out first, pound him. You know, the balls caught on fire. It's like, you know, we had so much fun. It was like that crazy land. And this is even crazier. You know?
Well, that's because we have no money, right?
Yeah.
So we're like recording in the basement and in the garage. We're like a garage band, okay?
Yeah. This is definitely the indie punk band of video games. And by the way, we should mention MomoCon. MomoCon?
Yes, in Atlanta, May 24th to May 27th.
You know, for an indie game, the awards are coming in. Best in Play at the GDC out in San Francisco. And nice. Michael, tell them about MomoCon. We're up for
We're in the Indie Game Awards. We're a finalist. So out of all the games submitted, we're one of the top 20. And we're going to be there at the show. And if anybody's from Atlanta, I've been to that city. It's very cool. I love that city. Please come by, say hi. We'll sign for you. And, you know, you could sit down and play Mutant Football League against me, and maybe we could get Tim drunk enough, and you could kick Tim's ass.
Sure.
Tim will be like, awesome. How do you run?
Awesome.
You hold the control upside down.
So I have a question for you, Tim. So, as you mentioned, like, you've been it since the pinball days. You know, how do you keep sort of, like, challenging yourself in these later roles? Because it seems like that you've been through, like, the highest of the highs with these top-selling games. Like what gets you to like, come back and still be excited about doing these roles?
Mostly money, but besides that, I'll tell you what, you think of those early games, especially NBA Jam, there's not a whole lot there. That foundation of that script, it was really simple, really clean. That was part of the charm of it. It was like lots of dead air. It's like Stockton for three, swish, nothing but net. And so it created this kind of a soundtrack that is very unique and different, and of course with the sim games and all the new games that have a lot more speech, it stands out in its own weird iconic way. But what's happened afterwards, that was like silent films, you know, if you think back, it's 25 years ago. So where we are now, I've become a writer and performer, where, like, you know, Tina Fey got 30 Rock, like, oh, let's build this story and characters and the dialogue. Now I get to do that, and this one just let me really create this world in this trumpoloptic, Trump post-apocalyptic world.
Trump apocalypse.
Yeah, Trunk apocalypse. Where everything got trumped up. But it's creating those worlds, and Slugfest I got to do it, and NBA Jam. But this one, you know, and, you know, creating multiple characters and fake ads, and it's like, you know, being Seth MacFarlane or something for a Family Guy. Like, you create the world and the characters, the fake ads, the, you know, all that. So there's just so much more to do than the early days. The early days were fun. As I said, they'll always stand on their own. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that no one's doing it anymore. And, you know, realize, you know, games are, we're supposed to be games escape from real life. And I know you got a lot of sim fans out there, and, you know, Madden, everybody acknowledges great games, football, but it's like, it's, why create just the real world? Like, the game is supposed to be the escape world. So how much further can you go than to have, you know, play with monsters and kill people in a Looney Tunes kind of environment, you know? So it's something that I don't think exists out there. We don't really have anyone else that's challenging us. This is a game title that, when the kids are playing this, it reminds me when I first saw people gather around the jam cabinet. They're screaming, they're yelling, they're high-fiving, they're waiting to get on. Like, we had people just waiting to get on. So when people say, did you know NBA Jam was going to be a hit? Not until I started to see the reaction in the arcades, but I'm seeing it now like I've never seen before. People are going crazy. So that's where, you know, this has all the makings of a monster Newton hit.
So then on a little bit on process, right? So, with Tim, what I told him was I wanted to use his creativity, right? So as a producer, I wanted to bring him in and let him go nuts. That's his talent. So what I do is I'll write down events. And then I will write down some dialogues for every event. So I'll write them, and then I'll go to Tim and I'll go, so I gave you samples of every event, and then he just goes and he writes them. And then I pick what I like, and then Tim picks what he likes. He highlights them. And then we have a script that I write, and it's all carefully crafted. And then I carefully put it into Tim's hands, and we get in the studio, and then Tim goes like that.
Not quite, but it's the fun of just like letting it rip. We're not like some slick band where we're, you know, doing 100 takes on the guitar solo. Like when we're doing it, you know, when we're in there, we're letting it rip and whatever you feel. And so that's the fun of it. That's the way Michael made the whole game. That's the way the play happens. He said there's a certain controlled chaos.
It'll never play the same way twice.
Yeah,
you'll never play the same way twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that way when I was playing in the season, and I was using the worst team. I'm using the worst team is the Tokyo. It's the team from Tokyo. They're all samurai.
And Tokyo Terminators, but I believe the Leveland Burns is lower rated.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah, but even I still couldn't. I can't do Leveland.
Standards.
Yeah, I've got standards.
Hey, Leveland Burns, man. That was Shaq News bought that team.
Yeah. So I was playing against the steel workers.
Pittsburgh Steelheads.
Yeah, Steelheads. Yeah, and I won that game in overtime with a field goal. After my running back ran for 187 yards, but then was killed off of three attempts, and he was killed in overtime.
That's why we have out of bounds, unless of course you run into the fire or the chainsaws.
Right. Well, we were playing in Pittsburgh, and they've got acid. Because it was nuclear fallout, and it was acid rain, and there's acid on the sideline, so I couldn't run out of bounds. But there are also holes in the field.
If you're an alien, you can run out of bounds. Acid doesn't affect.
Yeah, those
aliens
they love tripping their balls off. They love the acid.
So yeah, but yeah, it didn't work because we were all robots. We're all samurai robots.
Okay. So. Yeah, they're not a very good team.
Right. So all of the. So the great thing is that like all of the fields have their own special calamities. In Mile High, there are like worms that come out of the ground and will eat you. There are holes, like I said, in the Pittsburgh analog.
Mile High's field is supposed to be like a trippy place.
Yes.
So, because it's the Mile High Chronic.
Yes, they are the Mile High Chronic.
And then they have a dirty trick called Strawberry Fields, which will turn the controls reverse against the guys you're playing against. And for like 15 seconds, you get a bad acid trip. And then it goes all back to normal and nice again.
All the visuals, it's all hallucinations and trippy. And
then, of course, you got to have the worms coming out of the ground that occasionally eat your guts.
Got to have the worms.
Yeah.
He ate the worm.
Yeah, well.
See, and like that's what I love about this game is it's just fun to talk about
the
crazy stuff that happens. Like, I feel like it's, like the game almost sells itself when you hear someone talk about, hey, I was playing on this field and there's acid dropping and giant worms and there's a game of like football that's actually going on. That's like what I love about it. It's like a very like, even if you haven't played it, just hearing somebody talk about it, it's very visual. Like you could almost.
So in Dynasty mode, what we're doing is we are, it's kind of like an arcade-y franchise mode. So you're going to start out with a team that is rated 40 overall. So they suck. And then you get to play multiple seasons. And you get to, you have money, you have an economy, you have to manage your players. And then on the field, your players are gaining XP. And then when the game's over, you can either just press auto and then the AI will do everything for you. Or you could go in there and go, I want him faster, I want him tougher, and do it yourself. And then you can, there's a custom playbook. So you can design plays, and when you beat a team, you get their playbook. So you can design your own playbook by going, I want this play, I want that play. Your quarterback starts out at a 40 rating, so he has a very thin playbook. But as he gains intelligence, the playbook expands. But if he dies in the game and you got to bring in your rookie, then the playbook shrinks again, right? So you have all of this stuff in Dynasty mode, which hopefully gives our community and, like, the press what they wanted. And that's going to be coming out in the summer. And I know, like, I've just heard, like, all these groans because we had originally said we were going to deliver this in April. The feature is done, but we are testing it now, and we are tuning it now, and it is a kind of five-season, multiple seasons, and the objective is to see how many Mayhem Balls you can get in five seasons.
Nice.
We give you three seasons, but if you win a Mayhem Ball, if you reach a Mayhem Ball, you get extended. You get signed an extra year. So then you get an extra year, and if you get back to the Mayhem Bowl, you get an extra year. But you earn all this money. So you get money for wins, you get money, but then you have to use money because you want to buy dirty tricks. Or if you got to bring a guy back to life, you want to resurrect him, that costs money. So it's always managing your money and your team, and then you go and play. It's kind of cool. It's very deep. And I think it's going to put a smile on a lot of people's faces. Yeah. And it's cool. So, and then we're also doing a much better tutorial because we have a lot of people in Europe that want to play, but they don't know football, right? So we got to explain the game of football so like a European, somebody from Europe can understand it and then just the core basics of it and then enjoy the game. So we got a lot of stuff coming, new teams, new dirty tricks, online stuff. So on Xbox Live and PS4, if you're playing Dynasty and somebody wants to play online, you'll get a pop-up message. Hey, nice. Want to play an online game? So we're going to help solve some of the online, scarcity of players. And we're going to build this game over time. And I think it's awesome right now. And, I mean, if I make a game and I don't think it's awesome, I'll say that. But I'm really proud of the game. I'm really proud of our development team. My business partner put together a great team. And then the talent like Tim that we've brought on board. And then our community that has kept me focused, and when I do something, I go this way. They go, it's this, and they're the first to let me know, and I trust those guys, and I listen to them, and so it's all good. And I hope the product. We've had modest success, not great success, but we've had enough success to keep us in business, which is great.
Yes, exactly.
The product is $20, not a lot of money, and it's a good time. And, you know, go get it. If you don't like it, we'll refund you. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. You play it with your friends, have a few beers, you're going to like it.
Yes, you're going to love it. It's just a great time. And so you guys are doing a 5-year dynasty. You have a five season dynasty, or up to, and then you've got online mode. Are there any other things that you guys are thinking about doing with it, or are you just working on that stuff, and then you're going to listen to the community?
What we want to do online is we want to, and we've actually started. It's not going to be ready for summer, but to allow players online to create leagues and tournaments.
Nice.
So they could set up their own leagues, set, you know, here's when we're going to play, and then they have divisions, conferences, and then you have everybody, you know, pick a team that could be their dynasty team,
right,
and then go play online against each other. So we're doing that.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also working on Monster Maker.
Oh, so you can make your own, create your own monster? Nice.
And then, you know, you could create your own monster. But those are long-term plans.
Sure.
Like, if everybody that's listening doesn't go out and buy this game, then it ain't happening. But if everybody goes out and buys this game, not only will that happen, but there could be some other Mutant League titles happening, right?
Nice.
Like, the fans want hockey. Players in Europe would love to do a soccer game, you know,
right.
So we would like to expand the brand if we can do that. And we'd like to add announcers that are animating. So we've right. got like the Tim, you know, announcer right. going, "Go!" You know, and all of that stuff.
That is one that you haven't done yet, Tim. So
oh, he has.
I did actually World Cup soccer pinball game. I saw at the Midwest Gaming Classic Gaming Show. But that would be fun. Soccer would be fun.
Nice. Nice. Do the Midwest nice. Football League goal.
Goal! Is that it?
You do that again, I'll break your yeah. neck.
Oh, that's
Brits
right.
did it.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of global sports out there. Mutant League yeah. cricket.
Yes.
Oh, no. No. Never going to happen.
No Mutant League cricket.
Racing, no, fighting, no, no. wrestling.
No Mutant Australian Rules football.
No. Hey, did he mention one of the dirty tricks also was a shotgun?
Yes, so I haven't used that one yet.
Bomb Shady from the Nuke London Patriots. And Bomb Shady is back in the shotgun formation, actually pulls a shotgun out and blows the defender's head off. Oh, that's why we love Mutant Football League. And Bomb Shady just took a sack to the old lunch pail. Oh, man, I'll tell you, everybody knows he likes to play with softballs, but after that hit, he's going to be playing with deflated balls the rest of his career. Be careful what you wish for, Bomb. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff.
Right. So the fact, like, all of the innovation is coming from the indie space, and the fact that you guys are able to put together a labor of love, which, you know, such a small team. Like you said, Digital Dreams is, what, 7 people?
Well, we have a staff of, like, 12 people, and they're working on some other stuff, but on
and one Mutant, of them's a dog, too.
One of them? Maxie, yeah.
Yeah.
But
on the payroll, though.
On, yeah, which ain't much. Mutant Football League 7. We have a team of 7.
That is awesome. So so how long did it take to actually build the game?
So, well, there was a lot of pre-production and there was the failed Kickstarter, but we're not going to talk about that. So from when we actually got the team together, it was about 2.5 years.
Wow. Wow. And it, you know, and the game we've got, it's pretty awesome. $20 on all of your favorite consoles. Actually, I guess Reef could ask if there's a Switch version.
I was gonna ask.
Is that a stretch goal?
I was gonna ask, but you know, as they said, if like everybody goes out and buys it, maybe.
Right, exactly. That's maybe. Exactly correct.
That would be a really good idea.
Oh, thanks for coming back, Tim. Yeah. Everybody out there missed you. They said, "What the hell's Tim doing?"
All right.
I'm used to that.
He does this on the, you know, the
I'm
Jimmy Kimmel show.
Used
too.
To the catering. I got to go get my own beer at this place. EA, they used to have someone waiting on me hand and foot.
Yeah, that's terrible. Where are the PAs over there?
It's the dog, actually.
Yeah. And the
it's
retriever.
A border collie, yeah. And she's really smart. She goes, could I get you another beer, Tim?
So wanted to ask you guys, since I'm really curious as to, like, you know, this seems like a real passion project from both of you guys, you know? So after you finish a game that is, you know, like a sort of like a passion thing, like, is it too early to, like, say, like, what other ideas you guys have kind of bubbling around? Like what could be next sort of after you finish something that you, like, really put a lot into?
So I think what we want to do is we want to expand the brand, right? So we want to do other mutant-type sports games and grow our company a little bit. And the community, everybody wants hockey. I mean, that's what they want. They like, and those hockey guys, they are the most loyal. Like, they swear by hockey. They go, eh. Football, eh, but hockey, do hockey. It's a tough call. And then we've got, like, some publishers from Europe that are very interested in a soccer game.
Nice.
So we got to see. Cicero, you got anybody out there that wants some codes?
Yeah, hey, is anybody out there want some codes for Mutant Football League? We've actually got some to give away. So Stalemate, shout out to Stalemate 420, who said that Mutant Football League is on sale right now on Xbox Live for $13. So, I mean,
who the hell did that? What idiot did that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and like, I believe there's a demo on Steam as well. So if you had any concerns after seeing, like, the trailer or hearing us, and you just want to check it out on the PC side, you can go download the demo on Steam as well.
Remember, right, that this game is literally like the cost of two beers at Wrigley Field.
There you go. At Wrigley is one beer. So
think of how much money people drop in the slots for Blitz and Jam and all in Mortal Kombat. And you can spend that in an afternoon. So, you know, we really hope that the community does get behind it, because it's like a viral video. You know, you get a few people who love it, share it. So we're hoping that our fan base, you know, gets behind it, starts sharing it with their friends.
Right.
And guys like you, and, you know, you guys are terrific to have us on and help spread the word.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. You know, we really love having you on. So one last question for you guys. So Michael, you're a Chicago guy. Tim, you're a Chicago guy. You talked about Bally Midway, talked about Mortal Kombat. What does it mean for, like, the Chicago dev scene to have games out here? Is there a sense that, like, I feel like there's a real sense of pride for Chicagoans in the games industry. There's a lot of history there. How does it feel to, like, continue to add to that? That legacy.
Well, I'll let Michael give his version, because we never met, ironically. You know, it is a pretty small talent pool here, but it is huge. I mean, really, the foundation of all the coin ops and pinball and everything else, Williams Valley Midway, and then there's Stern and Sega and all the different spinoffs. And now Stern is the largest manufacturer of pinball games in the world. And they were almost gone about 4 or 5 years ago. I did NBA pinball with them. That was one of the last pinball games I did. You can see it on the Dan Patrick Show. But to be here in Chicago, and we just went to the GDC, so I was out there doing a post-mortem on NBA Jam with Mark Turmel, Sal DeVita, creators of, you know, Jam and Blitz and everything. Ed Boon was there. We had dinner, like all of us, Josh Tsui, and to see all these people that created these games, various different aspects, the artists, the creators, the voice talent, to the Midway connection is huge, man. It's like, it's the DNA, you know, they're everywhere now. They're at Microsoft and, you know, all these different companies, Disney. We were kind of like the Wozniak and Steve Jobs, like, making the games in their garage. Because Midway was like, it's a literal factory where they made the pinball games out on California Ave. And so now all that talent pool, Mark Turmel runs Zynga. He's the head creative artistic director. You know, so there's such a community. And we, you know, there is a lot of pride that this is the home. You know, it's like New Orleans and Jazz and, you know, Chicago and the Blues. Chicago's also the gaming capital. So for me, it would be nothing better than to have another huge success, but built like literally in that garage kind of like indie rock band format where we go, we can still compete with the big guys because you know what sells a game? A good game. You know, right. The marketing can help you get there quicker, the dollars, the money. But a lot of enemies for a lot of those big companies because what they've done is they've devoured, cannibalized smaller companies that were, you know, that were any competition. We see that in the music industry, movie industry. When I did NHL Hits, it outperformed the EA hockey game at E3 to the extent where they bought the company Black Box in Vancouver that produced this for Midway Chicago. There was like, you know, subcontract, like, no, we can't have that competition. So these guys who did a startup, like seven guys, they got $35 million or something, all became millionaires. And then they went to work for EA and they went, we don't want to work here. We had our own company because we were a rock band. We want to do what we want to do, which is what Michael's doing now. They don't like to work in those corporate confines where everybody's being told what to do, how to do it, and what the, you know, all the stats are telling them. Michael's like, he's flying by the seat of his pants. That's how all the great games were made in the first place.
My whole thing, it's like, we can't compete with them on features. We don't have the money, the manpower. Right. We can't. It's not even possible. We don't have the budgets that they do. So we can't compete on that level. But where we can compete is creativity. Like, that's something that, you know, that levels out the playing field. So coming up with concepts, you know, it's an idea. It's free. So that's where we want to compete.
Yeah.
And that's where we can compete. And the fact that we don't have to be politically correct.
Right.
The fact that we can parody and we can throw politics into the game.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, look, it is what it is. It's football and it's guys bashing their heads in for our entertainment, right?
Right.
So that's what we're parodying. We're parodying the audacity of this gladiator sport and taking it to the level where, I mean, it would be a better game if there was blood.
There would.
It just would. And so that's what we're doing. And it's just like this little fantasy, you know, dream of this is how I think the sport should be played.
Yeah.
And it's the exact opposite of, you know, the not fun league of, oh, no, it doesn't do that. And, you know, let's get rid of kickoffs. Let's get rid of kickoff returns. Let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, MFL is the more fun league. And it doesn't hide. It's like, yeah, it's a blood sport, you know? And as long as our little orcs and stuff are fairly compensated and they sign a release, then they can go to town.
So, yeah, I hashtag stubnostication for the show. 7 years, there will be circular sores on NFL fields.
All right.
So it's just
in the XFL, maybe.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And if anybody wants to get in touch with us on Twitter, we're at Mutant Football, and then Facebook or our website is MutantFootballLeague.com or Mutant Football League on Facebook. And again, we're going to be at MomoCon May 24th to 27th. We'd love to see you out there. We sign posters. We give swag away. And you can, you know, play against me and beat me.
I want to see that, some of the Blitz had some impact, like on Fox, how they put the yellow line down for the first line. That started in Blitz.
Wow.
And then you've got that big robot that jumps up on the Fox.
That's right.
Yes. So I want to do it. I want to parody that. We'll call that Schlock's News. And we'll have one of our robots or mutants or orcs come over and cut him down into fucking kindling, you know, while he's out there. They have a showdown, a cage match with the Fox, the Schlock's News robot.
Right. So yeah, gentlemen, this has been fantastic. Michael, I was gonna ask you to promote all the stuff that you guys are doing and where people could reach you, but you're such a fucking pro that you did it already. You know, you're amazing. So you guys, this game is fun. It's stupid. It's sophomoric. It's gory. It's unapologetically, a piece of shit. And that's exactly why it's supposed to be what it is. Thank you so very much for making it. It's going to be great. And I hope that people go out and Bricago go out and get it. We will have some codes for our members in our Discord channel. We'll be able to give some away. We'll promote it on Twitter. Michael, thank you so much for coming. Digital Dreams, we love you. Tim, thank you so much for being you. Thank you very much for coming. You have not given your social media information. If people want to get in touch with you, if they want to book you for gigs, what's your agency?
Well, first you go at Tim_Kitzrow, and I've got a really cool website, MrBoomShakalaka.com. Easy to remember, and all my my agent and everything else is there. Also, if you want a customized or personalized NBA Jam voicemail, go to WhoSaidWhatNow.com. And I'll make your own voicemail for you. So,
right on.
It's been great being on with you guys. As I said, it's all about the community. And, Michael was gracious enough to put his pants on and come down from his bedroom and do this show with us.
From my bedroom. Yeah. I'm working on Dynasty.
This guy wakes up. He wakes up like 3:30, 4 in the morning to take a whiz, as most old guys do. And then he goes right to the computer and he doesn't go back to bed. It's amazing.
There you go.
He's like James Brown, man. The hardest working man in the business.
There you go. You know, that's the Chicago way, though. You know, that's the Chicago way. And I love my adopted new hometown. And you guys are exemplary examples of it.
Hey, man, running into you at Comic-Con, man, your energy, your spirit, and your love you're bringing to us, we love it. You know, you guys just
thank
keep
you,
doing it. We'll
awesome.
Stay in touch and come thank see you. Us anytime and play the game. We'll give you some free shit, too, so we can get you some swag.
Yes, Cicero, you're the man. I mean, we could actually put you in the game.
Right on. Yeah, I am a monster and a mutant. That's
yeah, that's true. See, is like an ogre. You're like an ogre. I
definitely am.
I can see you on the line.
My partner would definitely. She would definitely say that I am an ogre.
We'll talk.
Yes.
Yes. So yes, Bricago, thank you so much. This has been episode, is it 218 of the Spawnomy Podcast?
See, now I'm thinking it's 217, but we're there.
See, I think it's 217.
Thank you to, our community. Love you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much. You made this all happen, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I will get you, Dynasty, but it's going to be late like everything else.
Hey, that's all right, but it's going to be there. I also want to send a special shout-out to Rebecca Rothschild. Who does a lot of coordinating behind the scenes, does a lot of writing behind the scenes.
Yeah, a lot of burping behind the scenes.
And I got to throw in Chad Nemo, too, because he's the other guy helping us on social media and all of that stuff. So,
Cicero, last note, if you guys want to, any NBA Jam fans, follow me on Golden State Warriors social media. I'm doing highlights for them throughout the playoffs after every round.
Oh, nice.
I did it last year, and that you can find that on my website, Mr. Boomshot.
And Tim's also got, he runs the Johnny Man Smell.
Johnny Man Smell. The
oh, my God.
Yeah, he was the former overhyped man trophy winner in college. And he's trying to get back into the MFL. So we've got a whole fun thing with Bomb Shady, Oh Hell Wreckham, and Johnny Man Smell, Johnny Foot Fungus Man Smell, on Twitter. So it's a fun little dialogue just to get a laugh. You know, check us out on Twitter.
That is fantastic. I can tell you guys are having so much fun with this. This is great.
Yeah, yeah. The game makes me smile. Before we get out of here, Reef, can you give us our social media business, please?
Sure. So spawnon.me is the website that has our whole backlog of all 216 previous shows, if you want to check those out. It'll have all of our bios, photos of our guests, and us as well. At Spawn On Me on Twitter, Spawn On Me on Facebook. If you want to send us a email, that's spawnonmepodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Discord. Little too long to give the link here, but if you want the link, if you message us on Twitter, we will send you the link to hop in our Discord as well. If you're listening to our audio show, which releases on Tuesdays, make sure to check our live video recording, which is on Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to go above and beyond with your support of us, make sure to go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/spawnonme. If you donate, then you'll get access to our extra two podcasts, which is Spawn On Me After Dark, and the Bracago Beltway, which is our political show.
Could you repeat that, please?
that was great, man. That was great.
Whoa! I mean, you might have some competition, Tim. I should have added like a boomshot.
Sharif Jackson, he's on fire.
Sharif Jackson, he's on fire.
Okay, we have got to record that. That's
yes.
Hey, how about this, man? You've been drinking bourbon tonight, right, Cicero?
Yes.
All right. Yes, sir.
Cicero's been taking so many shots tonight. He's so dunk, he just blew by Shaquille O'Neal and blew a 2.0 on the dunkalizer. That's twice over the legal limit. Kaboom! That's what happens when you let your friends dunk drive.
I'm not dunk. And with that, guys, for the absent but always in our hearts, Khalif Adams, for Tanya to pass, for Sharif Jackson, for Tim Kitzrow, for Michael Menheim, I am Cicero Holmes. We are the Spawn On Me podcast, episode 217.
Boom shakalaka!
Boom shakalaka!
Kaboom! The nail in the coffin! At the buzzer! Get that stuff out of here. You know, go on and on all night, but at the buzzer, we're out of here.
Peace.
Peace.